Hey Tim, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Not too bad.
So we got another Reactor Weekly. Special guest Andrew, come and talk to us about what's coming up.
Yeah, I guess I'm the special guest. I'm Andrew. I'm another technical evangelist here at Microsoft. Do a lot of the same stuff Tim does. We often wear the same clothes.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny. Find the plaid look with some sort of colored chino seems to be pretty common through all startup-y people in San Francisco.
Yeah. You've got nicer socks, you know.
Dude, yeah, today they're not too bad. Yeah, nicer shoes than normal too, and black pants. This is weird. But anyway, so I focus a lot on the big data space and machine learning. Also touch a little bit on IT ops and kind of all that around open source and Azure. So
yeah.
Any cloud stuff, definitely can get that answered.
And tonight we've got a meetup?
Yeah, tonight we actually have the Graphistas meetup, which is all graph database focused. And usually the guys from Neo4j and the gals are at this meetup talking about kind of what Neo4j does, and they talk a little bit about some beginning topics that start around 6:30. Then they have dinner, and then they have advanced topics. So feel free to come at any time, which is kind of cool.
Oh, nice.
It's an interesting structure. I don't know too many other meetups who do that. Every week give kind of a intro class as well as that advanced class.
That's neat. Thursday, start of next, San Francisco. This weekend, DevRelCon.
Yeah, DevRelCon, that one's pretty cool. So that's just like any other conference you'd go to, like a Python conference or a special, like a build, maybe a little bit smaller scale, but we're hosting here in the Reactor, all about developer relations. So if you've been watching this for a while, getting to want to learn kind of how Tim does what he does or what I do and what our jobs look like,
yeah.
You can go to DevRelCon, talk to a bunch of people who are out there doing it. Won't necessarily be us. We may swing by, but there's going to be a number of cool people talking there that have been doing this for a while, and they're going to talk on everything from how to publish a great video to how to actually truly engage with the community of developers that you're trying to have an impact with.
Right. And DevRelCon means Developer Relationship Conference?
Yep, Developer Relations Conference.
I had no idea that was it. I thought it might have to do with like security or something.
DevRel, Developer Relations. It's kind of becoming a new buzzword-ish, like Developer Relations, Developer Evangelist,
right.
Technical Evangelist.
Right, kind of in that
thing. All of those having like little subgroups.
Next week on the 18th, USF Education, Executive Education Visit. Can't come to that, but that's here. IHEE visit, another group of people coming in to visit, but then also the Bay.net meetup. We'll be in the office from 6 to 9. Do you know anything about .net?
I don't know anything about the Bay.net. We just had an awesome event here, though. Too bad. Sorry, it's our, if you're watching this, you already missed it, but yeah. It was our open space event
two weeks ago.
We partnered with the .NET Foundation. They're always doing some cool stuff all around.
And then Lunch and Learn on Tuesday the 19th. That's a good event.
What's the topic on that one this time?
This one's disaster recovery and failing over to Azure.
Cool.
So Janelle's going to talk through that one.
Awesome.
She's a great speaker.
Yeah, she really is. She does really keeps the audience engaged and usually covers pretty cool topics. This has been a pretty good series so far.
Yeah.
But we talked about what Azure to AWS, kind of what maps. That was interesting. And then the last one was like go-to-market. So if you were a startup and you were looking for go-to-market stuff. And then this one, all about kind of backing up to Azure. And then we actually have two more, I think.
Yeah, hopefully we can keep them going.
Yeah.
Because it's pretty easy. We just kind of come in, have some pizza, sit down, listen to somebody with a lot of insight on Azure.
Yeah.
That's cool. Microsoft Cloud User Group and then Azure Developer Meetup. It's on the same day.
That's a busy day.
It's a very busy day.
You had a lot of people coming in that day.
And then Northern California PowerShell User Group. Probably Janelle will be here for that one. Open Source Show and Tell. It's a new one. I don't remember hearing about that.
I don't know too much about that. I think that one's Christine's covering that one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That should be fun.
And then on Saturday, we're having Freddie Rangel, who's going to be in this video, is coming in to present on React. He's a great speaker, really informed. I'm really excited to hear what he has to say.
Cool.
What are you working on this week?
This week, we've been doing some hacking. So I've been spending a bunch of time in Mountain View. So driving about 2 hours in the car for a good cause, though. Like, we've been kind of hacking on a data set for ships, and we're trying to help ships move through a certain canal and hit different waypoints. So there'll be waypoints through this channel, and we want to be able to predict when ships will hit each of those waypoints.
Right.
So we're building a model right now. Well, not quite the model stage. We're doing a lot around gathering the data, all the heavy lifting, right? Gathering the data, finding a feature set, looking at what our baseline is, and just trying to understand what is even in the data, and, you know, also asking everyone why they're not collecting the right data. And also, like, yeah, you know, it's very, very interesting. It's been fun the last couple of days. Part of like a broader hack fest where they're trying to do more of like a command and control of the entire channel
system.
Yeah.
Cool. If you had to describe build in three words.
Oh, build in three words. Energetic, crowded, and exciting.
Nice. Those are great. All right, thanks for visiting.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
of course.
Hey guys.
Hey.
How's it going?
Good.
So I'm sitting down with
Suzette
and Freddie.
And you guys do a lot. I've been kind of following along, trying to keep up with you guys, but you guys are doing a lot of React stuff.
Right.
Yep.
How did you guys get involved? How did you guys get started?
Well, I think we originally met, so Swizek wrote quite a number of books, but I believe his latest book was a book on React and D3. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I was working on a book called React Under the Hood. So we decided to collaborate along with a bunch of other authors of React indie books. So Survive.js and a couple other books. And so we met through that, and we decided to collaborate on other projects as well.
So you guys just met in the community, or how did you end up?
Yeah, I think we first got in touch at the HTML5 DevConf, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
So we got in touch there because he did a React Under the Hood workshop.
Okay.
Then we somehow got together, we had some like coffee, met up with a bunch of other authors, and released React Indie Bundle last, was it November?
I believe it was Cyber Monday.
Yeah, on Cyber Monday last year, and now we're thinking of expanding that collaboration, and we're planning to do some workshops here in San Francisco about React and D3 in particular, and yeah,
that's pretty much a story.
Well, yeah, and it seems like you guys are just like, you know, went from nothing to book authors.
Yeah,
I mean, how was that experience? Why did you guys choose to kind of pursue that, or how did you find yourself doing that?
Oh man, that's such a good question. I like to call myself an accidental author.
Yeah.
It was really just a byproduct of doing a workshop on React. So what I typically do for some kind of speaking engagement is I write some kind of blog post or some kind of writing material to help coalesce my thoughts and have something to share after the talk.
Right.
But once I was done with the workshop, I had 12,000 words, the basis of a book.
Yeah.
So I decided to hire an editor and write another 8,000 words and put together basically what was in the workshop in book form.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, for me it was for React and D3 in particular, it was actually a dare from a friend.
A dare?
It was a dare, yeah. Because I've been blogging for a while and I've been kind of having trouble with writing short on the internet. You have to kind of write short content because nobody likes to read a 6,000 word blog post.
Right.
And then my friend dared me, like, why don't you write like a 10,000 word blog post and release it as a book? So I started being interested in React right around that time, and I was like, do it.
Yeah.
I'll write a book, and the first version was actually done in a month.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
And the benefit of writing a book while you're learning a new technology is that you still remember what it's like not to know that technology.
Mm.
Because once you learn something, it becomes really, really, really hard to teach.
Yeah.
Because you already forget what you don't know.
It's like becomes natural.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So my approach was, while I'm learning how to do React, I want to do it with nice visualizations because I previously published a book on visualization. Did that, and while I was doing it, I was kind of writing the book as I went. And then a month later, I just released it and wanted to see what happened.
So how are you guys using React outside of writing books?
Well, I currently work at a company called HelloSign. We do basically e-signatures, so it's signing documents in the browser, which requires quite a bit of interactivity. As you can imagine, signing documents in a browser requires people to, you know, put different text fields to, you know, fill in information or actually like drawing out a signature.
Yeah.
So it's very JavaScript intensive, and our entire front end is built in JavaScript, well, in React specifically. So I use React really heavily at work.
Yeah.
You know, building and maintaining pretty massive React code bases.
Wow.
So you can imagine like our hierarchy of React components is pretty gnarly, I would say.
Yeah.
It's certainly non-trivial.
Okay.
But that really informs me when I'm, you know, giving a talk or giving some kind of workshop. I have quite a bit of experience working in it in industry. And seeing where it shines and where it fails and taking those lessons learned.
Yeah.
And hopefully informing other people in the process.
Hmm. Yeah, I have a terrible confession, which is that in my day job, I still use Backbone, which is an interesting experience because it gives me a view into all the pain with not using React.
Huh.
So I'm more like exploring React on the side and using it for side projects and for small things and figuring out how to convert this giant code base from my day job, how to push the entire team to start using React and how to slowly move there because
as we
all know, you can't just take an app and rewrite it from scratch because it means you like stop pushing features to users for 6 months and you can't really do that.
Yeah.
So
gonna have to take this 10%, 20%
kind of
peel it away.
I think that's one of the reasons we ended up going with React on our code base, because a lot of our code base was written back in 2011 when, you know, jQuery and Backbone were, you know, the new hotness at the time.
Okay.
And we just didn't see a viable path to rebuild everything in Angular or in Ember.
Mm-hmm.
The story with React is really great with existing code.
Yeah.
With existing legacy code.
Mm-hmm.
You could just patch it onto your existing code much easier than many other libraries out there.
Yeah.
So we didn't have to rewrite much of our code base. There's still like some things you need to change around to make it work, but for the most part, it's been really successful for like real world existing applications.
Now, what would you say is like kind of the idea around that? Like, how would you convince your boss that that's the thing that you can go do because of React?
Well, there's a couple ways. I would say that it's the least obstructive library out there for rendering to the DOM. Mm-hmm. I would almost say it's a replacement for jQuery, where jQuery is really imperative, and you specifically have to say, grab this element, move it over there, do this kind of animation, and so forth. With React, you're just saying, this is what I want my component structure to look like. This is what I want the HTML to look like. Render.
Mm.
Right? So it's a lot more declarative. Mm. So if you've looked at any non-trivial jQuery code, it takes a really long time to look at it and try to figure out what it does.
Yeah.
But with a React component, you just go into the render function and take a look at its JSX structure, and you can see exactly what it's going to look like.
Mm.
So it's very helpful for designers. They can look at it and see what it's going to look like at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But a much lower mental overload to actually understand what's going on.
Yeah, the nice thing about React is that you have components. So when I was building a landing page for my book, I built a component called testimonial, and now I can just say testimonial element and put it anywhere on the page, and stuff shows up.
Hmm.
Instead of having to worry with jQuery about doing everything from scratch and copy-pasting it around.
All these tiny little pieces.
Yeah, tiny little pieces. You have like big component, and then you can have like, if you structure it well, it can just be like header, section, testimonial, text, and you can look from, you can see the structure of the entire app very well from a high level.
Hmm.
And then if you need the details, you drill down into each specific component.
Hmm.
And I guess I would say, as a caveat, I'm a huge fan of jQuery in the sense of like, it was the hero that we needed, not the one that we wanted at the time. It definitely helped smooth out the differences in different browser APIs.
Yep.
So I'm not knocking jQuery. I still think like it was excellent for the time, but now we have alternatives that are even better.
Exactly. What would you say is not good about React?
Well, I guess it depends on your own personal opinion, I suppose. Probably the biggest thing is it's not really a criticism of React itself, but of the JavaScript ecosystem in general, is the problem with tooling fatigue. Because React is very small, you still want to pair it with some other build system. Perhaps you want to use some kind of animation library, or maybe you want to use some kind of jQuery plugin for something specific that only exists in jQuery.
Yeah.
There's a lot of wiring together, but this is just the reality of JavaScript in general.
Tooling fatigue.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that one before.
So there was who exactly said this recently, but someone fairly prominent in the community, about just all the abundance of JavaScript libraries that are coming up, and replacement for existing libraries. So take Grunt, for example. Grunt was really popular, say, like 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But then Gulp came around and everyone jumped over to Gulp.
Right.
And now Webpack came out and everyone's jumping over to Webpack.
Yeah.
Now granted, in my opinion, Webpack is the best out of all of them.
Yeah.
But there's always that fear.
There's like somebody in your org who has been using that one for...
Yeah.
Hmm.
Maybe the new thing is going to come out.
Yeah.
So there's just so much configuration and constant learning.
Yeah.
It does feel like it's going, running away from us. So that's just the reality of working in JavaScript in general, and React is part of that.
Yeah, it's like a new tool to do the same job comes out like at least every month. And then it gains prominence. A new one gains prominence probably every 6 months.
Mm.
But the good news is you don't actually have to keep up with all of it.
Okay.
As soon as you get something that works, you're probably going to be fine for the next 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Because it's more important. It matters more that you know the tool you're using and can use it effectively than to use the new hotness every time it comes out.
Right.
Yeah, I feel like you need to say that before every JavaScript.
Exactly.
It's like you'll be fine for 3 years. Just stay
just relax. But I guess one thing I would add to that is React was initially created in 2011 and open sourced in 2013.
Wow.
So it's been around for a while, and I believe its popularity is going to stick around for quite a while.
Yep.
So I like to call it as like our new jQuery, but better.
Okay.
Where jQuery stuck around for a decade.
Yeah.
I could see React sticking around for another decade until web is certainly going to be different in 10 years.
Yeah.
So, maybe something new will come up. I don't know.
I mean, there's still a completely new version of jQuery coming out this year.
Sure.
So.
There's a new version of Grunt that came out today.
Yeah.
I didn't know they were working on it, but they are. Yeah.
Gotta keep up. Gotta keep up. So what's coming up from your guys' content perspective? What are you guys building now? Are working on now?
Well, we're working on a bunch of stuff. Swizek, we could talk about your book.
Yeah, I just released a new edition of React ND3.js, which going against what I said 2 minutes ago, it rewrites the whole thing into ES6, into the newest, fanciest JavaScript. Just because it makes the code nicer, it makes it easier to read, and because after like what, 5 or 6 years, we finally got a proper language update of JavaScript itself.
Mm.
So it's much nicer to use, and I decided to essentially rewrite all the code samples in the book, which then led to an entire rewrite of the book itself. And I also made a bunch of new like samples and things where, like right now you can see a particle generator built entirely in React, where data changes are actually used as the animation layer.
Yeah.
Is
this new? Is this something that you, is this a normal thing that
I think I took the idea originally from video games, where they have this idea of, and that's what React is also based on, because it uses the Doom 3 rendering engine, or the comparison algorithm, where instead of trying to figure out how to change each element to fit changes in the environment like you would with jQuery, you just say, here's the new data, re-render stuff.
Yeah.
And then you have these fancy game algorithms that figure out which elements actually have to be redrawn and which don't. And it turns out that that kind of stuff is smooth enough for nice animation that looks, it feels natural, feels smooth.
Wow.
You know what's interesting about this book is I bought it before I met Swizek, because I'm really curious about these two topics. It's the only book out there on React and D3.
Yeah.
And it's a tricky topic because they both have very different paradigms. React is based on a virtual DOM and abstracting state, whereas D3 has this two-way data binding. So there's some trickiness of what decisions do I want to make it work together? Mm. And I think the book did a really good job. I'm really excited to take a look at the new edition of it.
Yeah. And then you guys are working together on some stuff.
Yeah. So we decided that this topic really could use a lot more attention. So we decided to put a workshop together called React and D3, which will go over a lot of the fundamentals to get those two libraries working together in a collaborative and interactive environment.
Cool.
I personally like reading blog posts and reading books and learning that way. But I learn best in person with someone explaining things to me that I could bounce questions off of.
Yep.
And also, it actually forces me to finish the material. Like, I've started a book about functional programming that I stopped reading.
Yeah.
And who knows if I'm ever going to finish it. But with a workshop, you go there for a day and you walk out with a solid base of knowledge. So I think it's a really valuable use of someone's time and money.
Yeah, cool. And that's really the main benefit of workshops and books in general is you get somebody who has done it before who can curate your experience so that you actually learn stuff from start to finish.
Yeah.
And you're not reading random blog posts and trying to assemble stuff.
Yeah.
And then you're like me who took like 10 years to discover the debugger keyword.
Right.
Because I never came across it.
Yeah, you were just piece to piece, but never this.
Exactly.
This is how you really do it, kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so true. That's where I learned a lot of neat tricks. It's just, pair programming with someone else, and you discover that there's, some Git shortcut that is really useful or that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with these React workshops. I've done workshops with people who are already familiar with React, and they come out learning something because there it's just that cross-pollination of ideas,
right,
which is really powerful.
And we also have your book.
Yes.
You're going to revisit that soon.
Yeah, so the first edition is in ES5, just to have the maximum amount of people who can read and understand React. ES 2015 came out last year.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing a lot of adoption of the language today. So I want to update this book. I'm currently working on an update. It should be ready in a couple weeks.
Cool. So that kind of leads to the next topic. What's for the future? What are you guys looking forward to?
Oh, man, so many things. So again, we're really excited about this workshop coming up. I'm really excited about Swizek's book, and I'm having a ton of fun putting together a new edition of React under the hood.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm really excited about is, I guess, all these collections of workshops that we're putting together. Mm-hmm. So I put together a group called React University. And the idea is to get the smartest people in React today out in the community and helping people learn React. So whether it's people who've done books or who've done video tutorials or who've done a lot of open source contributions. These are some of the best people to learn from.
Yeah.
And so we're just starting to put together a ton of resources from that group of people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Technically, what would you be? What's kind of the roadmap for you building your next learning? What are you looking forward to learning next?
There are newer versions of JavaScript that are coming out.
Yeah.
Async await, I'm really excited about. I believe that's not going to come out in this version in ES 2016, but perhaps next year.
Okay.
Pretty excited about that generally.
I'm excited for all these things to come into browsers natively.
Yes.
Because right now we're using all these fancy features from JavaScript and chasing after tools and trying so hard, and then compiling everything into the JavaScript that existed 10 years ago and pushing it to browsers.
Okay.
So yeah, that feels kind of silly.
Yeah.
But I guess the one thing that's kind of frustrated me about the whole TC39 process is the fact that they have yearly releases is great. It's, you know, the opposite of what we had before. We, like you said, there was a 10-year mm-hmm. span. But now what that means is we're always going to have to babelify our code
right.
yep.
to get the latest version of JavaScript. And it's kind of hard to have like a baseline language, you know, like, does Chrome support IE6 or IE7? Does it support ES6, ES7, ES2018?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it
yeah.
gets really, really confusing. I feel like it's going to get confusing very soon.
Right.
Whereas, like, having a version number is a lot more semantic for
yeah.
me.
Right.
Yeah.
So towards the end, we usually do, like, movie, video, book recommendations. It doesn't have to be technical, but something that kind of inspires you or you think is... formational.
I feel like I'm talking a lot here, sorry. But I'm really excited about this functional programming book that I've been reading lately called The Mostly Adequate Guide to Functional Programming in
mm-hmm.
JavaScript.
Okay.
If you haven't had a chance to take a look at it, it's really awesome.
Yeah.
It just goes not just, you know, surface level functional programming concepts like, you know, map, filter, reduce, that sort of thing. But more of like you know, maybe types and monads and you know, referential equality, I think is what it's called.
Referential transparency.
That's what it is. Yeah. Thank
you. And idempotency.
There you go. Yeah.
How about you?
I'm gonna say something completely different.
Great.
And I think all programmers should read Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Okay.
And yes, I know it's a very scammy title, but there's a reason the book has been a bestseller for like 120 years.
Yeah.
It, you give it one read and your communication style and how you interact with your teams and with your coworkers is going to change a lot.
And that's productive.
It's productive because we all work in teams.
Yeah.
And the better you can work with a team, the better you can work, the more you can do, I guess.
Yeah.
I think I totally agree with that. For me personally, I would rather work with people who are empathic and know how to work well with others. Than someone who's brilliant but really difficult to work with.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think we've all been in those situations where, you know, you have someone who's brilliant but, you know, no one wants to work with that
yeah,
person.
Like a team of 10 engineers is always going to outperform a genius.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, guys. Well, you're going to be here in a couple weeks.
Yes.
What was the date again?
So I'm going to be here at Reactor on April 23rd for a React 2016 workshop.
Cool.
And I guess we could briefly talk about that workshop because we haven't
sure.
talked about it a bit. So it's essentially a workshop that talks about, helping combat a lot of the JavaScript fatigue going on
mm-hmm.
In the React community. So talking about how to get React, Redux, React Router, in immutable JS to all work together
okay.
With Webpack and be friends.
Yeah, it's very practical.
Yes.
Practical
yeah.
hands-on.
Yeah, very hands-on, very vocational. Yeah.
Cool. And maybe we can get you in here for a talk sometime in the future, too.
Yeah,
cool.
I'd love to come.
Yeah, it was very nice talking to you guys.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, see you guys soon.
Yeah.